Praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you here tonight. We are going to sing some songs and worship the Lord for a while. But of course, before we do that, we do need to pray. So we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee that thou hast given us this another opportunity to praise thee, to worship thee. For we know that thou art worthy of all our praise and all our worship. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here tonight, that thy presence would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask that thou wouldst inhabit the praises of thy people here tonight. We ask for thy inspiration, that we would truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, we're going to start off here in the chorus book with number 11, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Such a wonderful thing to worship God. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing number 115, I Will Enter His Gates. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates
gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, he does put joy in our hearts. In fact, why don't we sing number 15, The Windows of Heaven. Oh, windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in our hearts, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. Garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord. The Lord. Glory to God, and I am so thankful for that joy. Praise the Lord. We have hope, we have joy, we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we sing number 77, In the Name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name, Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, if devils ever come around trying to cause you trouble, just start singing that song and they're not going to stick around for long. Praise the Lord. They can't, because we have victory in Jesus. And we have victory because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Why don't we go to number 180 and sing that song? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So 180?
Yeah, I don't have it.
Why? It's not in yours?
Okay, it's in this other one here. Okay. Hope we can do this.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. That certainly is a power greater than any earthly foe. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 168, I Believe God. I believe God. I believe God. That it will be just as he said. Trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. I believe God, that it will be just as he said. Trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey, believe him and say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. That it will be just as he said. Trust and obey. Believe him and say, I believe God. If you need salvation now, well, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Just trust and obey. Believe him and say, I believe God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, there's some good ones here in the back that we don't sing too often. Maybe we should. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection.
And it's so good to see Vicki here tonight. We've been praying for you. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We know these funds belong to thee for thy purposes. And we thank thee that thou hast enabled us to be here and to do thy work. We ask, O God, that thou hast given us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy glory. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing number 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Such a wonderful thing to just turn our eyes upon Jesus and let everything else in the world fade away. Glory to God. Well, I'll have Shirley come up here and start her Bible study.
Praise the Lord. This is hard to pinch. I can't hardly do it, I'll tell you the truth. I'm just over this sweater. It's thick. It's hard to pinch it for me.
The fullness of the Lord.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, maybe that works. It's not, stick right there. Okay, sorry about that. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our God is good. Amen. He's really good to us. I know, again, really thankful for that song service. Just so good to worship the Lord. And, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, it's so good the Lord didn't leave us weaponless. Or, you know, he just didn't come to earth and you know, whatever. And, you know, he had a plan. He had a purpose. And you know, he was going to give us the ability to fight the devil. He wasn't going to, you know, make it so that it would be impossible for us to live in this world. But he was going to give us that overcoming strength, that gift of the Holy Ghost. He was going to pour it upon us so that we could overcome. And then he gave us the tools, you know, to wear and the name of Jesus, to know how to fight, knowing that that blood prevails and is capable to tackle any storm, any incident, any trouble at all. And praise the Lord, that's our God, you know, and we have that victory. You know, we can stand up against devils. You know, we shouldn't be cowards and try to hide. No, we've got the victory. We've got Jesus. And it is. These songs work together here tonight. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We've got great strength in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then he gives us his armor to wear. And you know what? We couldn't do it without God. But, you know, he hasn't left us or forsaken us. He gave us the ability to stand in this world and to overcome. Amen. We can overcome with the strength of the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful. Praising the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, it is good to see everybody here tonight. Amen. It seems like we went through colds and coughs and lots of this's and that's, but praise the Lord. It's beautiful to see all you that are here tonight, and we're going to pray. We're going to talk to the Lord, and I don't know if there's any prayer requests. Vicki?
I do have a prayer request from a kitten.
Okay.
It's time for her to be retested on Friday morning.
Okay.
The 90 days will be up, and it's kind of a just a praise report going back probably 13 years to the only other time that I had a kitten positive feline leukemia, and they said retest in 90 days. And we had our Saturday night prayer meetings, and there was a family here from all west, and it was time to retest that kitten. And I asked for prayer, and that woman just prayed so beautifully. And sure enough, I was not able to park her from her brother, and they cautioned me to do so, and I couldn't bear to do it. And they were both just fine. So I'm just praying that the Lord would just take care of that potentially fatal disease.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to
Tom now has come down with what I've had.
Okay, let's pray for him too. And we'll bring Gordon to prayer too. I think maybe if nothing has changed, he probably is going to have that biopsy tomorrow. So let's pray about that too. That's not the biopsy? Okay.
I wish I could remember now what it was. I talked to him yesterday.
Oh, okay.
The scope that they're doing is on February 2nd.
Oh, the scope is
something tomorrow. And he just didn't have quite the... He had such good spirits through this time, but he just seemed a little down yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know.
So I was really grateful.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know we went to see him Saturday, and just, he definitely was positive. You know, that was very refreshing, but it can be hard in those places, and, you know, those tests that you have to take and everything else. That's right, and sometimes a little discouraged. Okay, let's bring this all before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we could come again, oh Lord, and stand before you, Lord. Know that you're here, Lord. Oh God, knowing that you brought us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, knowing that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and there is no God beside thee, Lord. There is no other to turn to, Lord. Oh God, we just thank you, Lord, that you have become our refuge and our strong tower. Oh Lord, the one that we turn to, Lord. Oh God, the one that we rely on so fervently, Lord. God, I pray that you'd be here, Lord, that you minister to our hearts, that you draw us closer to you, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that every stronghold that comes and rises against thee would be cast down, Lord. Yes. That you give us that kind of faith, Lord, to triumph. Oh Lord, to live in that victory, to live in faith, Lord. Oh God, to stand above, oh Lord, the trials and the tests, Lord. Know that our confidence is in you, Lord, and oh, that you are with your people, Lord. You're here in the midst of your people, Lord. And oh God, you know how to give us victory. You've given us tools we can bind, oh Lord, the power of the enemy, Lord. And oh God, we can come to you, Lord, in faith and knowing, oh Lord, oh God, that you are God, and we can loosen, oh God, those things that need to be loosened, oh God. So, oh Lord, that you, oh God, you can help, oh Lord, these people. Oh God, you can help our loved ones, God. Oh God, you can move in a mighty way, Lord, and you can set free and redeem, Lord. And oh God, bring us close to thee, Lord.
Yes.
Oh God, I pray that you'd work here tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd help Gordon, Lord. And oh God, that you'd lift him up. And God, all those tests that are in front of him would come out well, Lord. Oh God, that there'd be no cancer, Lord. That there'd be no biggies, Lord. But oh God, that there would be healing, Lord. And it would be evident. It would increase his faith, Lord. We just ask for it in Jesus' name, Lord. And God, I just pray for those who are still fighting that bug that's going around, Lord. Strengthen Tom, Lord. Talk to him, Lord. Help him through this, God. Give his body strength and talk to his heart, Lord. And, oh, God, we just ask, oh, Lord, for mercy, Lord. Oh, God, we ask that you'd even use this, oh, God, to do a work in his heart. And, God, all these others, Lord, that need you, Lord. This kitten, Lord, too, we bring before you, Lord. And, God, we're asking, Lord, oh, God, if you could show favor, Lord, that testing would occur. And, Lord, there would be no more feline leukemia, Lord.
Yes.
But that you would do a work, Lord Jesus. Oh God, for your name's sake, and oh Lord, to build our faith, Lord. Oh God, we stand, oh Lord. Oh God, lifting our hands, crying out to you, Lord, believing you, Jesus, asking you to increase our faith, Lord, and strengthen thee. Oh God, our knowledge in thee, Lord, our walk with thee, Lord. Oh God, help us to be overcomers, Lord. And God, oh Lord, I pray that you'd help Doug tonight, Lord. Also, that you lift him up. Oh God, direct his path. Take away that thing in his lungs too, Lord Jesus. Whatever all it is, God, we just bind those spirits and ask, oh Lord, for a true deliverance in the name of Jesus. And, oh Lord, do a work here, Lord. Talk to our hearts. Oh God, direct this, Lord. Oh God, use these words here. Oh God, I need you, Lord. I ask that you would speak through me and help me, Lord. Oh God, and minister to our hearts. Oh God, take us to that higher ground. Oh Lord, give us faith in this dark day. Oh Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. We can see things changed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That I know there is authority and power in that name.
Yes.
Amen. And we've been given that tool. We can call on him any day or hour at any moment and know that he will hear us. Oh, and he'll even send his ministering angels. Oh,
yes.
We have such a blessing in that. Amen. Such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, well, with the Lord's help, we're going to be going to quite a few scriptures, I believe, here tonight. We're going to be talking about Zion, the city of our God, if the Lord will just help us through all this here. And I just pray that the Lord will just give us the insights that we need and lead us in this study that we're going to do here with his help. Oh, praise the Lord, the city of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, and here we are. We can all be participants oh, wow, we're still, you know, we might be down here on this earth, but, you know, we can be in heavenly places with our God. You know, we can get into that secret place with our God, and he comes down, and we can feel his presence and know that he's with us. And besides, he talks to our hearts. You know, he talks to our hearts, so we're never alone. We've never been abandoned, but we know we have a God that's with us. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. We've got great hope in him. Amen. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. And one day we're going to get there. We're going to get home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to read some preliminary scriptures first. The Lord's help here. We can turn to Psalm 76 to begin here. And here, first two verses here. Just leading the way here. Giving the groundwork, so to speak. It says, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Okay, we're going to just go with that. It tells us Salem, is another word for Salem is Jerusalem. And that's where the tabernacle was located. You know, the tabernacle was just a temporary dwelling place. And it wasn't always in Salem, but I think at the time of David, Jerusalem became known as David's city. It also was called Zion to a certain effect, but there's a greater Zion than that. And that's the dwelling place of the Most High. That's the dwelling place of God. And I believe that's what it's talking about in the scripture as it talks about God, because that's where God is. He's in Zion, the city of our God. And let's also go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. This is familiar here, and you've heard it often, but let's just turn there. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Praise the Lord. A rather important verse, because there are people on this earth that esteem certain cities more than any other city. Like, you know, it's you know, better, and it's superior, and that's where God is. But I tell you, here it tells us very clearly, here on this earth, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And along that same line, we think of Abraham. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we know that faithful man. In verse 8 it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Oh, I love that kind of faith. He didn't know where God was going to take him. All he knew, he was supposed to get up and go. But he obeyed, because he knew God was calling him, and it was God's will, and he wasn't afraid, because God was going to direct him. And it tells us in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So there he was in a strange country, he was a stranger, he's a pilgrim, in other words, just as we are here in this earth. The scripture tells us we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're not home. We know we're traveling to a city. We're not there yet, though. But what we do down here is going to count. It's going to make a difference for all eternity. And so it was with Abraham. He was sojourning in the land which God had called him to sojourn in. It was a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, dwelling places with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And then it tells us in verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what Abraham was looking for. He was looking for that city that is above. Oh, and a city that is the mother of us all. Let's just go to Galatians, the 4th chapter here. And here we have an allegory that Paul tells us of. And here it is. He's referring to Abraham also in this allegory. It tells us in verse 22 that it was written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And it tells us in verse 23, but he who was of the bondman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. And so the Lord uses this thing here, these two sons of Abraham, one born of a bondwoman and the other by a woman that was free. And that was a promised child. It tells us in verse 24, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, or as Hagar, the mother of Ishmael. For this Agar, or Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and in bondage with her children. I'll tell you what, that's how God is looking at Jerusalem on this earth right now. She's in bondage, and it answers to the bondwoman, to Hagar, to the child who was born after the flesh. But then it tells us in verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So praise the Lord. That's the Jerusalem to which we are looking for. That's the Zion that we're going to appeal to. It's the city of our God. And that's the one that is free. How strange that is so backwards so often in this era, this time period in which we live, this period of time that we live in. But let's also go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, as I go through this study with you. And here it refers to Mount Zion. But before that, it talks about Mount Sinai. And of course, Mount Sinai is the place where the law first came forth. And that law was so significant. It was ushering that period of time that would be under the law. And we know that it was given to Moses, and he was going to lead the children of Israel, and they were going to be under that law for that dispensation or that period of time. But when the children of Israel, after they'd left Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness, they got to Mount Sinai, and here they stopped. Here they stopped, and God was going to deal with them. God was going to talk to them. And it was quite an event. It describes it here in verse 18 of Hebrews 12. It says, for you did not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And there's a description. We could go to Exodus 19 and 20 to further read of this description. But it's brief here, but you know, it tells us that it was quite the sight. A site where it was, you know, this mount of God, it was called at that point, was shaking. It was on fire, and there were boundaries that were set for the Israelite people. They were not to go too near to it. They were to stand back. They could not touch it, or even if a beast would touch it, it would be killed. And it was quite the sight. It was so tremendous. And then God talked to them, and it was a loud voice. God talked to them in such a way. It was like with thunderings and lightnings, and you know, it was dramatic and just tremendously clear and loud. And the mountain in the background was shaking, and it was the voice of God and all of this. And the people didn't like that. They didn't like it at all. It frightened them, even though it was God's voice, and you know, he was giving them the Ten Commandments and all of that, but they were afraid. It tells us that they entreated Moses and asked Moses that rather than God speak to them, that Moses would speak to them instead. And so it was. They couldn't endure that. They couldn't stand that activity. They were afraid of God. there he was. He was trying to talk to them. He had words for them, and it was to their advantage to hear them and to know them, but they were afraid, and they couldn't endure it. They couldn't bear it. It was such a terrible sight that they, you know, they were afraid of it. And I wonder how many people will freeze in the presence of God. With the Lord's help, we're going to be going into that some tonight and see what happens when God appears. And, you know, it's going to be two different groups of people. There's those that are going to be right in the sight of God and those that are not. Just as simple as that. But thank God we have opportunities right now to get right so that we can stand before God. Because believe me, just as they were afraid of Mount Sinai when God was ministering through it, people are going to be afraid of Almighty God when they stand before Him. If there's sin in their life, oh, they are going to not be able to stand by any means. All at once, they're going to freeze, they're going to fall, they're going to try to run away. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity to get right at this moment. And verse 22 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." Oh my, if we've given our lives to God, then it's as we've come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion, here it classifies it. It's Mount Zion. It's also called the city of the living God. And it's also called the heavenly Jerusalem. That's all one and the same. And that's how it is when our lives are right with God and we're in the presence of God. We can live and stand and breathe and move in God when all is well spiritually in our lives. And not only have we come to the living God, to that heavenly Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, but we've come to an innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. They're right here in our midst right now. Amen. They're here. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, Jesus Christ being the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, made perfect. Oh, wow, we're in the company of a great company of people who fear the Lord and have overcome. And to those angels who are around our Heavenly Father. And it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, yes, that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that has power to redeem us and to save us. Oh, my, to bring us before God so that we could stand before Him someday to cleanse us, to restore us. What beautiful blood that is, that blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So here we're warned. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Oh, yes, he's coming. Yeah. Oh, it's going to not be the same once he returns. He is going to shake the heavens and the earth. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's all that will be left. The things that are in Christ, that's the only thing that will remain after the Lord gets done shaking. All these other things that will be removed. And so praise the Lord, it says in verse 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. He's a consuming fire. And you know, he knows how to burn up the sin and the dross in our life. He knows how to destroy that. But he's coming back with vengeance one of these days. Rather shortly, I believe. He's going to come back with vengeance. And he's going to consume everything that is not in him. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and nothing will remain except that which is in Christ Jesus. He is coming. And so we need to serve God acceptably with hearts that are right with the Lord, that hearts that have turned to repentance, yes, with that reverence, that respect for an almighty God, with godly fear. for our God is a consuming fire. All of that, but praise the Lord. You see the distinction here between Mount Sinai and that heavenly Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. All of these precious promises that we have in Christ Jesus. We know that when Jesus was standing before Pilate, that he made it known that the kingdom that Jesus Christ was bringing forth was not of this world. Let's go here to John 18 for a minute here. Here's Jesus in this chapter. He's before Pilate, and it must have been very confusing for Pilate. He could not seem to understand why Jesus was standing in front of him. All he could see is a man with no sin, with no guile. And what in the world? You know, why in the world was he here? And, you know, he told the Jews, just go take him, judge him yourself. Do what you're going to do. But the Jews said in verse 31 here in John 18 that it wasn't lawful for them to put any man to death. And, of course, that was to be crucified, and so that signified what death Jesus was going to die, it tells us in verse 32. So here's Pilate again. He's entering into the judgment hall. He called Jesus, and he asked him a question. He says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, and sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? You know, why are you asking me this question, Pilate? You're not a Jew. And that's what Pilate said. Am I a Jew? He said, thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? See, Pilate doesn't get it. Why is this innocent man standing before him? And Jesus explained in verse 36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus was God come down from heaven. And he wasn't coming to establish an earthly kingdom, as many had hoped. No, he was coming to set us free from sin. Oh, and to bring forth his spiritual kingdom, of which there would be no end. Oh, praise the Lord. And Pilate asked again, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Oh, praise the Lord, the truth cries out. Oh, wow, there are people that will hear truth. And Pilate asked, what is truth? He didn't know. Hardly anybody knows what truth is, but it's in this book. It unfolds in these wonderful pages in the scripture, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God. It comes out, and that's why Jesus came, to bring forth truth, to bear witness of it, and to seek and to save that which was lost. His kingdom was not of this world, otherwise they would have fought for it. His servants would have fought for it. Luke 17 also bears out that issue also. Just looking at it briefly here. It tells us in verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, it's not going to be the usual way. There's not going to be an obvious takeover. There's not going to be armies that come in and you know, make the way clear. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be with observation, because here are the Pharisees and they're demanding this of Jesus when the kingdom of God should come. And Jesus says, clearly, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord, it's within us. He was going to pour out his spirit. He was going to put something within us, so that we could stand in this world and fight spiritual battles, so that we could overcome sin, the devil, and the world, so we could be strong in the midst of great tempests, spiritually speaking, and overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord, our God is a wonderful God, and he was going to make it possible for us to endure this world and to overcome, to stand true. But from this point, I'm going to go to Psalms 48, and I must say, I had a letter this last week, I believe, and it was from a dear friend in Oklahoma, Sister Shirley, and she just was making mention of this 48th Psalm, and I had to go read it after she made mention of it in her letter, and I just couldn't get away from it once I read this, and we're just going to go here now that I've laid some groundwork with all these other scriptures, and I think we all know now that the kingdom that the Lord was establishing was not an earthly kingdom. It was going to be within us and not of this world, and you know, the psalmist here is also declaring and talking about that kingdom that is above, that Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the city of our God. So let's look at it. Verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Oh, that special place where God dwells. And surely our God is great and greatly to be praised. It says, beautiful for situation, its location, its position. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Oh, praise the Lord. And I truly believe it's talking about that heavenly Jerusalem. As it describes it here, it talks about Zion on the sides of the north. And the Zion that they talk about is concerning earthly Jerusalem. It was actually on the western side of Jerusalem. For a time, it was considered the whole city, but and then later, it was considered the very southern part of the west part of Jerusalem. And that's not what is being considered here in the second verse. It says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And I just want to just bear out just a couple things here. Job, the 26th chapter, verse 7, it talks about how God stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And I just think this is significant. It tells us where God is. There's an empty place up there in the skies. It's in the north. And that is where God is. That's where it was stretched out. God stretched out the north over that empty place. And that's where God is, you know, beyond there. And I love how that verse there in Job says, "And hangeth the earth upon nothing." I just love that. The Lord spoke this earth into existence, and so it is. It's hanging on God's word. Let it be. Let there be an earth, you know. And there it is, rotating on its axis and going around. And, you know, they try to figure out what gravity is and all this and that. But frankly, it's just hanging upon the word of God. There's nothing that's holding it there. It's just because God has declared it. And so it is. And I love that. I love that. They're not going to figure that out, are they? But our God can do anything. And as he says it, that's so it is exactly how it's going to be. And then I just want you to note a couple verses in Psalm 75. Psalm 75. We look at verses 6 and 7 here. It says in verse 6, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." It doesn't come from any of those three directions. Well, where's it come from then? Obviously the north, right? And then verse 7 says, "For God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." It's all in God's hands. And that's where promotion comes from. It's God who determines who's going to be in charge. And even though we can't always understand what's going on, and we see wicked men in rule and power and doing things we can hardly bear, but yet God has allowed it for his own plan and purpose. He is the judge. And he can put them down at any moment. If that is his desire, when you know it's time to put them down, believe me, God does it. It says he putteth down one and setteth up another. That's all in God's hands. But that's where promotion comes from. It comes not from the east, not from the west, not from the south. It comes from the north where God is. Amen. So going back to Psalms 48 here. Beautiful for situation. The second verse, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Oh, praise the Lord, where our God is. Oh, it's pretty precious to know that we have a Savior that is with us and so great. And then it goes on to describe the place where God is. I'm just going to read a few verses here, then I'll comment with the Lord's help here. It says in verse 3, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. And we know a refuge is a place of safety, a hiding place. So God's known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took a hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it continues to describe it. And I'll continue reading it. Verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple or thy dwelling place. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Okay, I'm just going to go back and comment here. It's really something here. When I got thinking about this description here, it first of all, it talks about Mount Zion and the sides of the north. And then it begins to talk about God is known in her palaces, the places where he reigns, his dwelling place, his refuge. It's known as a place of refuge, a hiding place, a place of safety, in other words. But here it talks about an event. It talks about the kings. They were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. They marveled. They were troubled. They hasted away. Obviously, it's too much for them. Because what are they seeing? They're seeing something so magnificent, so wonderful, so impenetrable that they can't even bear to look at it. We're talking about kings that don't know the Lord, obviously, and they get a glimpse of this place. They see it, and they marvel. It's just beyond their consideration, what they can even think of. They're marveling, and it troubles them. And all at once, they try to withdraw. They try to run away because there's a strength there that they cannot face, a strength beyond anything that they could ever do, no matter that all the kings of the earth were gathered together against God. And so they saw it, they marveled, they were troubled, and they hasted away. And it talks about fear taking a hold upon them there. Pain is of a woman in travail. It's terrible. They can't look at it. All at once, they're overtaken in their pain. It's so great. They realize the great strength of this place. And the ships that are of Tarshish, oh, those ships would come from Tarshish, bringing precious minerals and ores to other places. They were extremely important for all the ships that were, you know, bound one place or the other. And could it even be battleships in this case? Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish, coming there out of Spain with an east wind. Of course, we know God just breathes, and so it is. So as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, all this was going on. But yet God will establish it forever. Selah. Now we're going to talk about the time of this event. when these kings are obviously gathered together, when they're passing by, when they get a glimpse of God's city, of Mount Zion on the sides of the north. We need to go to Psalms, the second chapter here. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise it is, praise the Lord. Psalms, the second chapter. I believe here we're going to be reading of a conspiracy. A conspiracy that's unfolding even at this moment. And here it talks of it. It says in verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And here it is. The kings of the earth set themselves. They gather together. They have a thought. They have a plan. They have a plot. They have a conspiracy. It says the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they don't want any connection to God. They want to just take those bands that would connect them to God in any shape, form, or manner and break them asunder, cast away any cords that would connect them to the living God. They want to do their own thing. They're in rebellion, and they've plotted together. They've taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Well, how does God respond to this? They've all gathered together. They all have this thing that they're going to do. And believe me, they planned it. It's not yet quite happened, but there's planning. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. In other words, he's going to have them in scorn, in ridicule, in confusion. This is no thing for him. Here they are, all these kings with all their might, all their power. They've joined together. They plotted. They planned. They put all their money into this effort, obviously. But there's a God in heaven who is mightier than any force could ever be. Oh, praise the Lord, a living God who has a people that are called by his name, people that he will preserve for his name's sake and keep and hide in that hiding place that he has prepared for his people. And God is going to speak to them in his wrath. It says in verse 5 here, oh, God's not afraid of them. They have joined together against him. They have plotted, they have planned, but God's not afraid of him. He's going to speak unto them in his wrath, and he's going to vex them in his sore displeasure. And it says in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a fortress that is so impenetrable. It is so strong. It is so mighty. It is so enormous that there's no force here on earth that ever could take it down. Oh, that ever could even take one little portion of it down, because God has put it together. And God has strength like no other strength could ever. And as it is here in Psalms 48, here they have a glimpse of that refuge, that city of God, that holy dwelling place of God, because one day it's going to come down from God out of heaven. Praise the Lord. And all at once, these kings that have joined together in their conspiracy, thinking that they're overcome God and his people, are going to be up for the greatest surprise of their life, because God is so mighty. God is so great. God is so strong. He is that fortress in whom we trust. Oh, that mighty fortress. Oh, praise the Lord. And here it is. So it describes that here in Psalms 48. They saw it. They marveled. They were troubled. They hasted away. Fear took upon them, hold upon them, and pain as of a woman in travail. Those ships in Tarshish were broken. It was all gone. It was all over. They had assembled together. And I believe that's what Psalms, the second chapter, is talking about. Those kings that set themselves together, that had that thought that they were going to come against God and against his anointed. They were going to take counsel and break those bands asunder, cast away those cords. Oh, but here's God coming. He's going to have them in derision. And he's going to speak to them in his sore displeasure. I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, and so it is. Nobody can destroy him. Nobody can bring him down. And this all comes together in the book of Revelation, doesn't it? We see things happening right now at this very moment, don't we? You know, there's plans behind closed doors. And they've had this plot going on for quite the season. But God is the one in charge. And no matter what they plot and they plan, it's because God has put it in their hearts to do so. They're actually fulfilling his will in their devices and in their thinking, in their cunning, and their schemes to make one world and to join all the peoples of this world together as one. Let's look at some of the references in the book of Revelation, just going through these rather quickly. But if we look at Revelation 16, we can see this very thing going on as everything unfolds here. Those angels are pouring out their vials upon the earth, and I don't know where we are in time. The 12th verse talks about the sixth angel pouring out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I think, wow, this might be in the making right now. Because the kings of the east are rising up in power and in strength right at this very hour. Verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Right now, I think these things are in the making. It's not all complete. It's not all right there right now, but things are unfolding. We know as the Pope declares this and that, that he's uniting the religions of this world. He has certain individuals under him, like Rick Warren, that are going forth to do the same. So it's before us. It's going on right now. And it explains, "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." That's what they are. They're spirits of devils that have intervened in their lives, and even to make miracles come to pass, going forth unto the kings of the earth. There it is. The kings set themselves together and take counsel together to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. They don't know that it's God who's in charge, however. And it says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." I believe it's all going towards that right now, even as we speak. If we look at Revelation 17, we see the same thing developing. Verse 12 talks about 10 horns, which thou sawest, and explains that they are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And we know that they have divided this world into 10 parts. It's all in the making. It's all taking place right now. Not fully revealed, as I said, but in the making. And it says in verse 13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." They're all joining together in unity to have one mind to give their power and strength unto the beast, who certainly will rise to the scene at some point. And it says here in verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Praise the Lord. He's going to come back. He's going to come back in the midst of all of this. He's going to surprise them. They're going to think that they have the advantage. And that they're going forth with their plot and their plan and all their devices and, you know, their one world theory. And, it, you know, we see so much going on, even with the internet, how, you know, they've brought forth that kind of net to capture and to, you know, bring forth a Big Brother type of concept where, you know, we can be recorded and you know, that nothing is in secret. It, at least to their thinking. But anyway, that's part of their plan, to make war with the Lamb. But praise the Lord, it says very clearly here, the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Because in the midst of all of this, he's going to come back. He's going to come back and he's going to bring his people with him. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But he's going to bring them that are with him back. And here it will be. He's going to come to bring them down. And he explains here in verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. She thinks she rules over all the people, the multitudes, the nations, and the tongues. She thinks she has advantage. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beasts, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. There's going to be a day when the beast and the whore do not get along, and the whore will be destroyed. And it's all because God has declared it. It tells us in verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. It's all being done because God is in charge. And he is in control. And he set up one and he bringeth down another. And he's allowed it. So God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our God reigneth. Our God is mighty. And chapter 19, again, here we see him coming back. We see him coming back. Another description. There's several descriptions here. And here it is, that point. When John saw the heavens opened, here in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord. The family of God, his people, coming back with him as armies which are in heaven upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, the righteousness of our God, because he has that garment, that vesture that was dipped in blood, because he took our sins on that cross and he gave his blood. He shed that blood so that we might be clothed with it, so we might have his righteousness. Oh my, so we could be his children. Oh, praise the Lord. So there he is. He's coming. And no wonder they can't bear to see him. There he is. His eyes are as a flame of fire. And on his head, many crowns. Here he's got a name written across his face. A name that no man knew but he himself. Oh my, his garments dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And those armies which are in heaven follow him upon white horses. And there out of his mouth, it tells us there goeth a sharp sword. Oh, a sharp sword, the Word of God. That sharp sword. Oh, that two-edged sword. That with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. My, all at once they're going to get a glimpse of Almighty God. All at once they're going to get a glimpse of what God is all about. And it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, because this time he's coming back to judge. This time he's coming back with vengeance. Oh my, this time it's going to be too late to fall on your knees and repent, turn to a merciful God. For he came once to seek and to save that which was lost. But here he is again. He's coming back in triumph. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, they were going to know him. They're going to understand. They're going to see him. And they're going to realize who God is. And there it is. Oh, out of his mouth goes that sharp sword. Oh, that two-edged sword, that wonderful word of God that's going to judge. Oh, because that word of God has been given for our instruction, for our knowledge. And if we didn't fall on the rock Christ Jesus in obedience, then that rock, that sword is going to come to destroy us, to sever us, to bring us to open shame. That two-edged sword, that word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's going to judge. It's going to judge the intents of the heart. Every motive that's been concealed and hidden within the individual is going to suddenly be out there in the open, fully revealed, fully knowledgeable for all to see and to know. And it's going to be declared, for here is our God. He's coming, oh, with that flame of fire, coming as King of Kings and God of Gods. None beside him. But how do we get there? How do we get to this city of God? What action do we need to take? Let's go to Psalms 87 here. Here, too, it talks about Zion. And it begins by saying, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. The dwellings of Jacob could speak of a natural, earthly Israel. Those could be considered the dwellings of Jacob. But here's something beyond that. These are the gates of Zion. It says, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. See, this is what we're talking about. It's that Zion, which is above, which is the mother of us all. O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. But there's a distinction. Yes, we all have an earthly place of birth. But it says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth of the people that this man was born there. Selah. So obviously, when our God returns with vengeance, when he returns to this earth, there's going to be one thing that matters. Have we been born in her? Have we been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Because he's going to count. At that point, he's going to count. He writeth of the people. Are their names written in heaven? Has it been recorded that this man was born there? Have they been born again of the water and of the Spirit? That's what's going to matter at this moment, because here it is. There's a church that's been established by Almighty God. There are people whose names are written in heaven. And all at once, there's nothing else that's going to be significant at all but our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ephesians, the second chapter, talks about that church which the Lord established. I could just go there for a moment here. Oh, such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful chapter. It talks about how he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that makes us all participants in Mount Zion. Even now, when we worship and praise the Lord in our little sanctuaries. Praise the Lord. But the Lord did such a wonderful redeeming work. It says in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. It talks about that time before when we were alienated from the plan of Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The gospel was to the Jew first, but praise the Lord, in the plan of God, it was also for the Greek, for the Gentile, for those that were without the first covenant of God. It was going to go beyond that. And praise the Lord, when the Lord was there on the cross, that partition was broken down. Oh, wow. That thing that separated us from God was broken down. That great curtain that separated the holy place in the tabernacle from the holiest of holy was broken down. It was torn asunder so that there would be a people who could have direct access to an almighty God, who could go to him without the intervention of anybody else, who could go to the mediator, Christ Jesus, and bring their troubles, bring their sins, bring their cares, bring their burdens to him. So he broke that down. We were reconciled in Christ Jesus, we who were afar off. As it says, we were once strangers. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We had no hope in this world. We were without God. But there was a God who put on flesh, the man Christ Jesus, who came to this earth because he was seeking, he was saving those that were lost. He had a plan, he had a purpose, and he was coming forth to bring it in so that we could be participants in his kingdom that is from above, that kingdom that is not of this world, that kingdom that is within. And the Lord Jesus came forth to usher it in, and he was our peace. He was making peace there on the cross so that we could approach his throne, so we could go directly to him, so we could gain forgiveness of sins. And there he was. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. We wouldn't have to be a Jew in order to come to Jesus Christ, but he was making it both one. He was bringing the two together. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity between the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, praise the Lord. And he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, those that were close and those that were far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. He joins us all together as one body in Christ. We're laid upon that foundation that no man could lay but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is built upon the apostles and the prophets. And then there's a chief cornerstone that established it, Jesus Christ himself. And then he built upon it. And we as his children are all parts of that building, of that temple that he's built together, that he's putting together. It's growing together into a holy temple in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all of us together, all doing our part, all being participants in the plan of God. And praise the Lord, we're now no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Oh, praise the Lord, and we're built together for a habitation, our dwelling place of God through the Spirit. Oh, he came forth to bring forth his Spirit, that he might be in us. Oh my, as I've said, so we could triumph over sin, so we could have that power from on high and ability to stand, so we could be fully converted. So those same works that Jesus Christ did, we can do also. Praise the Lord. And he said, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He would not leave us comfortless, but he would come unto us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. He would come unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. And here we are. We're joined here together. Oh, part of the family of God. And oh, part of his plan and participants in that new Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord, that city of the living God. And praise the Lord there in the Psalms. Psalms 87, he was talking about of Zion, it should be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Oh, yes, we know how Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he didn't know the answer. He knew that Jesus was from God. He had that much insight. But he didn't know what God's plan was. And there, excuse me, it's in the third chapter of John, that Jesus answered him and told him the need to be born again. The need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Of course, Nicodemus didn't answer. He didn't understand it, did he, at first? He didn't understand how a man, when he's old, could enter again a second time into his mother's womb and be born. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Not at all. Jesus answered, verse 5 of chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Oh, praise the Lord. There was a new birth that was going to be essential. And the Lord was establishing it there as he came to earth. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born in the Spirit." Oh, praise the Lord. When we're born again of the water and of the Spirit, there's a sound that comes forth. The sound as the Lord comes into our lives, as he takes our tongue and he begins to work in that unruly member, begins to change us. He begins to work in us. Oh, we become his dwelling place, that place of his habitation through the Spirit. That Holy Ghost comes into our lives, and there's a sign that follows. A sign that can be heard, a voice that speaks out, just as it was on the day of Pentecost, when all those cloven tongues sat upon them as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and all at once they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is the voice of God coming into our lives. The Spirit of the living God. The Spirit that was in Jesus. The ghost that Jesus gave up there on the cross when he was dying, when he was taking our sins upon us. Oh, yes, Satan didn't understand what was happening there at Calvary. He didn't understand the significance of that. He thought he had won, you know, that he was bringing down the man Christ Jesus at that point. But instead, Jesus was ushering in a new kingdom, a kingdom that was not of this world. He was bringing hope to his people. He was making a way, oh my, so that we could live above sin, so that we could be witnesses in this world. And it happened there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. And there it was, that which had been spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. That what was happening. The Lord was ushering in his church. And he was bringing about that new birth. That new birth where we could be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Coming up to walk in newness of life with the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love that when people begin to receive the Holy Ghost right there in the water. That's a beautiful thing, because there's that promise, there's that strength, there's that spirit, there's that new birth coming forth, there's that sign, there's that evidence that we've been born again of the water and of the spirit. And so it happened on the day of Pentecost, and so it is happening even yet today. For Peter said, "For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He gave us that assurance that that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost was for all that the Lord our God should call. And it's not like people declare just for a certain time and period earlier, you know, like the apostles needed it. No, I think we need it right now today. I think right now, if we're part of the church of the living God, we must have it. And praise the Lord, here it is. The Lord's going to count. There's a new birth. Oh, wow. In of Zion, it shall be said. Oh, we become participants in the city of the living God. We begin born again in that city of the living God. The highest himself shall establish her. That church of the living God. The Lord's going to count. He shall count when he writeth up the people. That this man was born there. Selah. Oh, yes, it will matter on that day when we stand before God, when this all comes to pass. Are our names written in the book of life? Are we part of that counting that the Lord has established? The others are going to look all at once. Here it is, that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. All at once are going to see the King of Kings. He's going to stand there. Oh, my, his eyes a flame of fire. And they're going to see him. They pierced. Oh, that they didn't believe in, that they did acknowledge. And all at once they're going to see that fortress that he established, that great impenetrable fortress that he established. And as it says in Psalms 48, they saw it. They marveled. They were troubled. They hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. All at once, they realize what a mighty God there is, a God that they didn't put their faith in, a God that they didn't turn to. But all at once they're going to know, they're going to realize, they're going to understand who he is. Every eye is going to see him. At that moment, they're going to know who he is. Oh my, he's going to come with clouds. He's going to come with his witnesses. His church is going to be with him. Those that are with him in heaven now and those that are on earth when he comes. He's going to come with clouds, with those faithful witnesses. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Oh my, it's going to be too late. All at once they're going to see what God has prepared for those that love him. What he has prepared for his children. Oh, that wonderful city of God, that fortress that we have, that place of refuge that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, that, you know, that mighty sanctuary, that palace, that fortress that is so tremendous, so huge, so magnificent, so strong that no one could even possibly think of penetrating it or getting through to it or destroying it or bringing it down. There's nothing that can destroy it. And that's the strength that we have with the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can find that refuge in God. For his people, he's going to be a refuge. He's going to be that place of safety. He's going to be that sanctuary. He's going to be that dwelling place. But for those that did not fear him, that did not turn to him all at once, they're going to be so troubled. They're not going to be able to look at him. Oh, fear is going to take upon them, hold upon them as a woman in travail. They're not going to be able to stand. They're going to be drawn away. You know, it's going to be the hardest moment of their life. But it says in verse 8 here in Psalms 48, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. He's so mighty. He's so true. And I have not seen or ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, we don't know yet what it is, but we know that God has taken everything into account, into consideration. And we know that it's going to be that perfect place, that place, oh my, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more tears, where there's no more crying, oh my, where there's no more toil, oh, where all is well, where our sins are forgiven, where we all abound in his presence, where we stand in his presence. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, that wonderful city of God. Oh, that wonderful city of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Oh, praise the Lord. And we can all be partakers of that. Oh, praise the Lord. The others are going to withdraw. As it says there in Psalms, the second chapter, They're going to be afraid. All at once, God's going to have them derision. And he's going to speak to them in his wrath, in his sore displeasure. But yet, have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Praise the Lord. There he is. Praise the Lord. He's going to break them with a rod of iron. He's going to dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, like nothing. But for his people, oh my, what a fortress. What a mighty God, what a provision the New Jerusalem is, that city of the living God, that holy place where God is. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, we thank you. We love you, Jesus, and we worship you, Lord. Oh, God, we draw nigh to you with your hearts of the hearts, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your precious provisions and the way that you've made for us. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to that city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Oh, that New Jerusalem. We've been singing about it. We've been worshiping. We've been thinking about it. And sometimes we can hardly wait to get there. You know, we get in God's presence. And, oh, you know, you just yearn for just a little glimpse, just for a little look, you know. Just, oh, could I just have a little foretaste, Lord? But it's going to come. That city from God. Oh, that New Jerusalem. Oh, wow, that suddenly is here. That holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. And all at once, that great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Sam will come. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 40 in the chorus book, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm not going to get close. I loved listening. The whole, everything was so special. Thank you. But the sound would come and go just like speakers. Like somebody would in my ears.
Always kind of plunge a little bit, maybe.
I've been shaky and I don't know what it. She thought it went into a sinus infection, but it almost felt the way your body feels when you have bronchitis or pneumonia. And yet, the cough, I treasure the prayers and thank you. Because that cough just finally broke up and has been coming out, and yet I only cough once here tonight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I wanted to be here so badly.
I'm glad you are. Yeah, I'm really glad you're here.
And if you would also please keep Mary in prayer.
Okay.
She's just been really struggling lately, and I'm worried about her. She's not communicating very well. Sometimes I think your emotions can... You just don't want to talk about them even to somebody else, even your mother. Or maybe especially your mother. I don't know.
Yes.
But it's not like her to not talk to me.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'm very worried about her. Yeah, and I know I'm not quite with it because I just wrote 2012 on the tithe envelope.
Yeah, I know. It's funny with years, you know. You know,
that is not very promising to me.
Well, 2003. It was pretty back then, you know.
And I'm thinking is it the 28th or the 29th?
Yes, I think it's the 28th.
Okay, I'll check the calendar tomorrow. But yeah.
Oh.
How are you?
God, thank the Lord. I did go see the chiropractor today. It wasn't my usual Monday, but I just felt I knew something was wrong with me, and I had three vertebrae were twisted in my neck.
Oh, surely.
Yeah, it feels way better now, but I just
three.
Yeah. I just felt so clumsy, and you know, like,
you know what it does. What?
Brian?
Really? Oh, you're kidding. Hi, Brian. I didn't realize the mic was on here. I'm talking about prayer requests. Silly things. Oh, how lovely. Really helped my back to keep going. To keep going in chiropractic. That is true, how it can feel really clumsy. And something's out. Or even not think straight sometimes with your neck.
I looked at my shoulder this morning and it was kind of bulging on my belt.